one track I'm playing on my half-hour feature of yours is my favorite track of yours, which is your tribute to Nina Simone's Four Women. And it's the expansion outro off of your first Reflection Eternal album. And I'm curious as to how you came to write it, because it's a bit different than many of your tracks.
Yeah, I mean, Nina Simone is probably one of my, if not my favorite artist. And that song, Four Women, is just a perfect piece of songwriting. And my introduction to it was a live concert with Nina Simone performing at Berklee. So the first 2 years I listened to that song, I didn't realize that it was like a 3-4 minute simple song, because the version that I heard, she was really explaining how she wrote the song, explaining where these characters came from. And I thought that's just how the song went. So when I wrote my song, I really went into depth with the characters, because I thought that that's where Nina Simone went. As I grew older and became more knowledgeable about music, I found out that, you know what, I was basing my version off of a long extended live version. But, you know, I think that it made my version something different. I don't know if I would have been able to recreate that song without knowing the history of those characters for a hip hop song, you know?
Yeah, and I'm curious as to how you balance your role as MC and CEO. You have some dynamic artists under you, like Jean Grey, and you got the crew Strong Arm Steady, and there's also you're part of Idol Worship, and I hear there's this Party Robot album coming out, and I'm curious as to how do you balance this kind of work life while being creative and also having to run a business and oversee other artists?
Well, I mean, it's tough, and I won't lie, I say that it's easy. It's very tough, and, you know, I owe these artists a lot. You know, these artists are artists that Reese Graff, Strong Arm Steady, Jean Grey, these artists are artists that have inspired me to do and become the artist that I am. And these are people who I look towards my inspiration. So if their music ain't popping and out there and their situation ain't great, then my situation ain't great. That's the way I look at it. But, you know, I always maintain that I come out of a musical community or a musical family. None of this I do on my own or by myself. So as tough as it is to try to oversee all of this and keep pushing all this stuff, even when people sometimes don't get it, it would be even harder to do it by myself.
And part of your marketing is that it's very creative, where you got this great website called yearoftheblacksmith.com, where you have some videos up, Blacksmith TV, where you kind of follow you around your different tours and your different shows, and it's really quite funny. I was just recently watching the, I think it was episode 3 or episode 4, where it has you on a bike and it's raining, and you're saying, I was trying to be environmentally conscious, but, you know, now I'm wet. And I thought it shows kind of like the lighter side or sort of behind the scenes of the hip-hop game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key of that show, definitely.
And I was curious is if it's going to be made into anything on TV. I know you've been on MTV a bit, but, like, when's your next role on TV coming out?
I don't know. The TV thing is, TV is a beast, you know, and at this point, part of the reason of doing something like Blacksmith TV is to develop the content that I can't control. And that's, so hopefully I do get picked up for some sort of situation. I just did a voiceover for a TV show that's going to be a web-based show called Blockheads, which is like an animated hip-hop thing, and it's me and Atheon Crockett and Lauren London and a bunch of people. That was really fun. But hopefully I can do more TV and more stuff like that. You know, I'm into that stuff.
Yeah, and part of this crossover marketing, you talked a little bit about on Internet Connection, first track from your new collaboration with High Tech. And in this, like, you start to touch upon how technology and Web 2.0 has sort of changed hip-hop. And I was curious if you could kind of elaborate a little bit more of how the hip-hop game has changed since the late 90s when you were starting up, and today when you have YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, all those sites are really just, you know, digitally building a community. Whereas before, you had to get up and get on the train or get on your bike or take the bus to the park and meet up with other people or actually go to a show. You know, now you can stream whatever, or now you can iChat, or you can talk on Twitter or whatever, and it makes you more self-absorbed, because you have to spend more time talking about yourself than you ever did in your whole career. But at the same time, it enables you to connect on a global level if you figure out how to master it, if you figure out how to freak it and use it to your advantage. If you're just on the social networks being social, then you're not really using it to your full advantage.
In Internet Connection, we're referencing avatars, which I assume was a reference to Second Life. reminded me of Jean Baudrillard has this notion of hyperreality, where like people live their lives kind of mediated by different elements of the media without actually, you know, being there in person. And I thought it was fascinating because, I mean, you're known as one of the most provocative live MCs and performers. And yeah, I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
I think as soon as I saw Second Life, I was one of the first performers on Second Life, like taking advantage of it. I haven't really been on it since then, since the startup of it. But, you know, it's a scary concept to me. You know, it's like all this stuff is scary. Twitter is scary to me. I'm on Twitter all the time, and it's scary to me. But I realize that if I'm not on it, it's just another lane that somebody else is taking advantage of that I'm not taking advantage of. You know, but it's just like, man, yeah, that's something that's completely and totally foreseeable for our future. And they haven't figured it out yet, but they're trying damn hard with these websites and these robots and all these things they're making. They're trying damn hard to get us there.
I have another question that kind of goes back to the notion of being, you know, the MCEO. And one of them I read on an internet forum was about Blacksmith's relationship with Warner Brothers. And I was curious as to how you're reacting to that Warner Brothers isn't going to be distributing the future Blacksmith titles. Or I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Well, actually, that's not completely true. And I had a problem with Warner over that because I felt like they should have done a better job of cleaning that up. But, you know, my album, Reflection on High Tech, is furnished by Blacksmith Music, and it's still coming out through Warner Brothers, and it's on track and on schedule, and we're ready to put it out. I also deal with Warner as a solo artist. Keep in mind, I only put out one album with them as a solo artist. That deal was a 3-album deal. And that was a successful album. So the deal, as far as Reflection Eternal and Blacksmith, is not going anywhere. It is what it is. Now, as far as Jean Grey was upstream by Warner Brothers, but right now what we're just trying to do is figure out which situation to Warner, which arm of Warner, whether it's Warner that I'm on, or, you know, the Asylum situation, because Tom Moskowitz is now the head of Urban at Warner Brothers coming out through there. We're just trying to figure out what makes sense for Jean Grey's album. Strong Arm Steady album will be coming out through ADA, which is another chapter of Warner, which we put out the Jean Grey Genius album last year through. And also, you know, look out for our participation in the Blue situation. Blacksmith as a marketing with the online stuff, you're going to be hearing more about Blue from LA, who just signed to Warner Brothers, and you're going to be hearing more about John Forte.
And also, I've seen that there's a number of mixtapes. There was a Coast to Coast mixtape that just recently was released on your site. Yeah, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about this March Mixtape Madness that you're hosting.
Yeah, that's my man Filet Harrison. He's a DJ up in Portland. And him and his homeboys have this Coast to Coast mixtape where every month they have a different artist host the mixtape, and this month it just happens to be me.
So I was wondering, is there any question or an area I haven't covered yet that you'd like to address or bring up?
No, I mean, you know, idol worship, that, you know, the Party Robot album at this point is still independent. I don't know if it's going to remain independent or we're going to put it out through a label or whatnot, but idol worship is an extremely, extremely exciting experience for me at this point, doing these shows with this wild band.
And then also, I was reading that you had participated in experimental theater at NYU, and I was wondering if this was accurate, and if... just because other artists I've interviewed on my show include Saul Williams and other people who've been on the Deaf Poetry Jam with you, like George Watsky, Ice Life, Dalek Brathwaite, and all of them have somewhat of a theater background. And I've seen that with more of the kind of like conscious rappers or people who have like amazing stage performances, they have this theater background. And I was curious if this background you think has influenced how you perform on stage.
Yeah, I think without a doubt. I think that the thing about theater, especially experimental theater, is that you have to embody everything you're doing. Like, you have to, you get a character, right? But you have to create everything about this character, like the backstory and the blocking and the way the character's going to talk and speak and everything like that. And it's like, that's what you do when you come up with a rap name. Like, you create a character, but your character is based on some sort of fantasy version of yourself. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's really the same skill set. The only difference is you have to write rhymes to go along with the attitude of this character.
Yeah, and so the thing that I liked is that you keep it real, where you just use your own name. And so it's not like you have this sort of caricature of yourself, but you do come across a lot more fresh and a lot more real than a lot of the MCs who are kind of fronting and have, this whole image of them set up.
Well, I'm glad I'm having that effect because, I mean, even though I do use my real name, who you see as on stage is definitely a caricature of who I am in real life. And it's something that, who I am in real life is something I strive to protect at times. I'm a lot funnier and I'm a lot angrier in real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a lot more balanced as an artist. Like, you try to present a perfect picture of yourself, even in exposing your history. You know what I'm saying? Like, some artists, I don't have no real bad traumatic thing in my past to expose. But artists who expose that, sometimes they expose it. Sometimes it's the attention that can deal with it. You know what I'm saying? And even with me, like, with the stuff that I expose, whether it be my social views or how I feel about something, it's the attention of people who say, "Yeah, I feel you." That is something that drives you on the ego side as an artist. And it's something that's real, but as an artist, you try, as your stage persona, you try to present, the best version, I think.
And going with this stage persona and sort of presenting your image, one trend that's been very popular in the last couple of years is the use of auto-tune with people, kind of doctoring their vocals. And I was curious, have you pursued auto-tune, or are you thinking about doing that, or are you just going to keep with, your fresh voice?
Music, making music is not a paint by numbers thing. So it's not a thing where someone could be like, okay, well, I'm gonna attempt auto-tune this year, or I'm gonna try. It's like, shit, if it worked for the song, it worked for the song. And there's certain songs that it certainly works for. The problem is not auto-tune. The problem is people's overuse of it. It's the same thing with conscious rap back in the days. Back in the days when when P.E. was on top and you had X-Clan, you had Porridge, Teachers, KRS-One, you had a lot of people doing conscious rap, positive rap. Not all of it was good, though, and a lot of it felt fake. And so it made the way for groups like N.W.A. And so they blew up, and then you had a lot of copycat gangsters. And so then that felt forced and fake. And that's just the way things go naturally, I think.
So, yeah, thank you very much for taking time out. And, of your busy touring CEO MCing schedule to talk with us here on Fresh Air the Alternative.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for taking time out.
No problem.
Live from the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, it's DJ Matt Werner, only on Fresh Air.
Hey, yo, this is Talib Kweli. You checking out DJ Matt Werner on Fresh Air the Alternative.